Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. This is a podcast, an irreverent podcast about the music rules and music culture that mostly matters. I am Dan.
John.
this is episode 76. We are living our best lives. And this is... Sean, you're going to enjoy this episode. I hate it, but Sean's going to enjoy this episode.
Oh, what the hell?
You were touching the space bar on the thing and you messed up a dock. Anyways. The only new single we have of the week is We Appreciate Power by Grimes. This is the first single that has come out of whatever her next album is going to be.
Yeah, and former Elon lover.
Yeah, there's the whole Elon stuff, but now we can talk about Grimes as a musician, which I much prefer to do than talk about Elon Musk and our interesting relationships with the person. Anyways, it's this very, like, speaking of Elon Musk, although only a tiny bit more, just a tiny bit more, it has to do a little bit with an AI, like, motif.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
It's almost like, it's playing along this line of, in the future, it'll be artificial intelligence that's controlling the world, and it'll take over, and it'll be evil, blah, 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 blah. It's actually not bad. It's like this interesting...
No, it's actually not bad at all. It's poppy, electronic, but it's not horrible. I haven't really listened to Grimes much, but...
This is different from a lot of Grimes music, but not unfamiliar, I would say.
Okay. I'll allow it. It's not bad.
I feel like it's going to sound different. I just have a feeling it's going to sound different than most of the album in general. Nevertheless, I will be interested in reviewing it when it comes out, or talking about it, or thinking about it, whatever.
So we took last weekend off because it's Thanksgiving, and so we didn't get to talk about this, but you know, Long Beach native and Staples went off on a tweet spree against Thanksgiving, and it was fucking beautiful. So first tweet is, on the dead homies, fuck all pilgrims.
he's kind of... Overall, talking about the true meaning of Thanksgiving, if you will. He continues.
I walk in the Whole Foods on some regular and it's packed because y'all want to celebrate this bullshit. Got me all the way hot fuck y'all. If your mama got her hand up a turkey's ass tomorrow, that kitch weak.
No, that's sitch weak.
It's sitch.
I'm fuck you. I'm reading these now. Especially now. Niggas finna roll.
Yeah, now you do it.
Niggas finna be 40 deep in a 3-bedroom house eating cranberry sauce in the name of white murder. You should be ashamed.
And y'all only make the turkey to disguise that y'all eat pork. Don't think I don't know the truth.
So he's just going off on people who disguise the fact that they're not eating pork. That's just like,
When you eat in a day, remember that plate got the same shit that killed Big Mama on it.
I got all these sweet tea coons defending Thanksgiving via all social media platforms. Y'all relax. Them settler whites ain't even like y'all like that. Let me get this content off.
Settler whites.
There's a reason why it's the Vince Staples Work Award. Yes. That's the reason why we're probably not going to rename the award, and that's basically it.
Yeah.
Signed, sealed, delivered. We're going to be reviewing albums on this podcast, because that's what we do from time to time. We'll be talking about Black Thought, Streams of Thought, Volume 2. We'll be talking about Meek Mill's Championships. Believe it or fucking not, we'll be talking about Tekashi 6ix9ine's album Dummy. But that'll be a little bit later in a segment we like to occasionally call No Chill Island. However... Right now we'll be talking about, and we'll also be talking about the 1975. They're a band you may have heard of.
They're a band that someone may know. And like.
Right now, we'll be talking about Earl Sweatshirt's new album, Some Rap Songs.
With the fucking most terrifying album cover of the year. That shit gives me nightmares.
Everyone's taking a Snapchat photo like this, okay?
Oh, 100%. I've done that. Exactly. That's why I don't want that as an album cover. The accidental open Snapchat, and you actually click the volume button.
This is definitely not the album cover you want to have hanging in your bedroom when you're like inviting members of whatever gender you're into over for the night. Because this is not... This ain't the sitch, as Vince Staples would say. Anyways, Some Rap Songs, it's 15 songs long, 24 minutes long?
Because every song is like a minute and a half.
Which is... Like, I have a lot to say about this.
It's like poetry rap, in a way. It's literally rapping over some really random fucking beats.
Most of the beats don't even have percussion.
No, they're just random ass sounds and noises. It's different, very, very different.
It reminds me a lot of like the special herbs. You remember the
instrumentation of special herbs? Yeah.
Yeah. So MF Doom released a bunch of MF Doom released a bunch of different songs,
and like demos and stuff. Like yeah. A 45 track.
Yeah, and several different sets of them too, and they were called
special herbs.
Yeah, and they were just instrumentals and different things you'd work on. Some of them ended up on MF Doom albums, some of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it was always this really interesting sort of concept that was going on with it. And these songs have that kind of sound to them, if you will. Like, they're very...
Okay, I can see it.
They're sampled, they're very loopy, very bass heavy, kind of like just wild and random. It's nothing you would like bop or bang, but it's very, like you said, it's artistic. It's for the...
Arts for the poetry.
Rhythmic
really.
Poetry of it.
Yeah. I mean, he has his dad on here, too. Right? Rip Earl Sweatshirt's dad in January, but...
We talked about that in one of the first episodes of Audio Face this year.
That's for sure.
How his dad died, and it was kind of like... hit him a little bit. And remember Nowhere to Go was a single that had been released a little bit before Thanksgiving? I think we may have talked about that. It signaled this sort of experimental, strange vibe. And... honestly, I really enjoy it. It's the reason why I said I had a lot to say about this is that some rap songs, the entire representation of it represents kind of a new form of release. It's not quite an EP. It's not quite an album.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm just going to call this, for lack of a better phrase, a drop, right? Where it's kind of exists for the virality. Earl Sweatshirt's going to be existing and talked about right now in this moment. And this drop is going to exist whenever Earl Sweatshirt fans or people who are looking at him will look back in the future.
Yeah.
But it's really just kind of meant to be there. It's not, the artist doesn't want it to have too much of a significance because it's just a body of work.
It's not a full length LP, you know, it's not.
Yeah. And it's intentional about that because it takes a lot of risks. It's a little weird. Everything's short. It's not meant to be played on the radio. It's for kind of the artistic meld of it.
Yeah.
And
I quite enjoyed it, honestly. It's just different. I didn't know what to expect. When I look at the track, I was like, why the fuck is everything short? I played through it and I go, whoa, this is like Morning Becomes Eclectic, drink a lot of beer.
Yeah. The ranking system for this podcast is going to be... ranking different duos at the G20 summit. So like which countries have the, based on which countries have a good relationship, which two, so not too crazy.
You
have a good relationship or a bad relationship. And a good relationship is a better album, and a bad relationship is the worst album, because all album reviews are really arbitrary, because that's an arbitrary score system.
So this is...
this is a deal between Macron and... who's the Canadian?
Justin Trudeau?
Trudeau, yeah. Macron and Trudeau. It's like kind of expected because Earl Sweatshirt has this body of work of being kind of different, instrumental, and willing to experiment like that. And he's really artistic. And it shows like his talent and his artistry is growing in this album. And so this is really good, but a little bit unexpected, but in a way not, if that makes sense. And it's kind of just this... genre pushing kind of thing. I compare this to Tierra Wax Whack World, where it's like, you're not meant to take this as an album. You're not meant to, this isn't an album in the traditional sense, but this is a complete body of work. But this is kind of just a random exploration. I want to just exist, but not be thought of that highly. Just like a drop. It's a very virality based moment thing. I'm alive.
This is like, oh, fuck, I don't even know. I do like it. Let's do something random. Let's do Spain and... no, they don't like each other. Spain and... they don't like each other. Spain and Portugal, which is... no, they don't like each other either. Fuck, I can't do
Spain. How about China and Argentina? They just signed the currency swap.
Didn't they just
deal?
Sign a call into currency swap right now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Literally on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I could do, you can do China and.
A little bit unexpected, but Argentina. You know.
It's different. It's good. It's good. It's interesting deals. See what happens. We'll see if the new Silk Road is built.
you know, I think this is really good for China kind of making inroads with South America and developing it into a new colony to extract resources out of. But anyways, let's go into
That's always what South America's for.
We talk a lot, and we're going to talk a lot about shit shows on this podcast, because honestly, it's fun to talk about the cars crashing. However, I do want to point out occasionally when artists are doing something that I really enjoy, which is what Lorde is doing. She's basically just decided to take some time off in New Zealand. She's not on social media. She's just like taking time for herself because she was just touring and supporting a bunch of albums and like supporting her album and appearing in a bunch of other people's work. And she decided to just say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to relax. I'm going to chill in New Zealand. I'm going to barely talk to people. And I'm going just pick up piano.
And yeah, she hasn't played. So she's teaching herself how to play piano.
Yeah, and she feels like a lot of her album is going to be built, her next album is going to be built around,
I mean, I'm around the piano, which I'm always down, because that's what the Arctic Monkeys did, because Arctic Monkeys, Alex Turner, the frontman, was given a Steinway upright from his, I think his record man, record label person, and that's what they built Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino around. So, I've been always saying, make piano great again. So, keep it going. And speaking of piano, speaking of making music great again,
Sean, you've been waiting for this for a while.
I don't even know. I want you to talk first, because I'm gonna talk like half an hour on this album, and I'm so first.
No. I want you to go first. But like, I will introduce it. You give your opinion, and then I give mine, because that's the dramatic part. We all know what you're gonna say.
That's true.
We want to know what I'm gonna say, and I know how to host. And so I know where to place the drama. Okay. This is the 1975's A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships. It's their third album.
Third LP.
15 songs long, 58 minutes long. Begins just
right
like
around that heaven mark of.
We talked about the 1975 and their history in our bonus episode, Audio Face 75 Bonus, A Brief Inquiry into the 1975. You know a lot about them. You know what Sean has liked about them. We've picked them for Audio Face Song of the Summer with Love It If We Made It.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely going to be on the short list for Song of the Year.
Sean.
For sure.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
So,
how did you like this album?
Start with this fucking album. So you've listened, hopefully you've listened to the bonus episode where I give you a brief explanation of the 1975 and why I like him so much.
Put out this content for y'all.
So, right, content. So this album, from top to bottom, is definitely their best work, 100%. It's completed. It's new and old at the same time. So what it does is, they basically put every genre of alternative music, so you have rock, experimental, pop, all of that into one album, somehow made it coherent and beautiful. I don't know how, but they fucking did it. So I'm just gonna go top to fucking bottom. So there's only two songs I don't really like on this album, or iffy, which is the opening, the 1975, because they do that on every album. And I understand why they did it. It was kind of cool how they did this weird jazz mix to it. But I always wanted, like, I don't know. I like the original, too, so much more. But that's just me. And then Give Yourself a Try, which I do like. It gets repetitive. It's based on a Joy Division song, Disorder. And Two Time, fucking banger. Pop song, really up, lively. When I first heard the song, I hated it, but after the second listen and watching the music video, I go, okay, I understand, it's pretty cool.
Music video is pretty woke.
The music video.
I mean, like,
all
of
their music videos are pretty woke. Super woke. Actually, they're releasing a music video Monday, tomorrow, at 9 p.m. Pacific
Today,
Standard Time.
If you're listening to the podcast when it's dropping.
Fourth song,
now if you're listening to the podcast any other time. Sorry, Sean, continue.
The fourth song, How to Draw /
Petrichor.
So How to Draw was a bonus track. If you bought the Target edition of I Like It When You Sleep album 2 years ago.
By the way, shout out Target.
Super shout out Target for having a random song like that.
No, shout out Target for leaking the album.
Oh, also shout out Target for leaking the album. Thanks, you fucks. But I didn't listen to Leak because true fan. And anyways, so
Give them 1975 their 45 cents of stream money.
Pretty much. Oh, I've given them way.
But anyways, How to Draw.
So they did it. They redid the song completely, and they the second half of the song they made into this house music dance hit, like some, I don't even know. It's like Swedish House Mafia shit or something in the second half of the song, which is
I heard really the cool. OK Computer intentionality with that part of the song.
Well, there's that. I'm going to get to OK Computer in a second. And then there's Jesus Christ Reincarnated. I can finally talk about it. Love It If You Made It. This song is just, it's amazing. It's beautiful. It's completely perfect. The perfect fucking song. I don't know how the first time I listened to it in July, I turned it on and I go, okay, just give yourself a try. It was whatever. Put this on, I go, oh my God, this is literally Radiohead good. This is the present tense good. This is House of Cards good. How? Holy shit, the boys from Manchester fucking did it. They actually did it. Be My Mistake is great. Sincerity is Scary is good. I Like America and America Likes Me. Making fun of fucking trap by putting, by making a trap sound good. So they did a snare drum, and I heard snare drum. I'm like, no.
And the hi-hat,
no.
Double
the thing. Hi-hat. I'm like, please don't. And they did it. I'm like, wait, they're making fun of America and SoundCloud. I'm like, wait, this is cool. They fuck with Matty Healy's vocals, but he can actually sing, so it sounds good.
They auto-tune.
Auto-tune it on purpose.
I mean, like, there are a lot of artists where, like, even when they're auto-tuned, which is annoying, but they sound good, like Swae Lee definitely falls in this category.
Yeah, Swae Lee does that. And then there's The Man Who Married a Robot / Love Theme, which is basically their Fitter Happier. On OK Computer, which is a little theme of Siri voice popping over a little piano and strings, and it's a big statement against internet and
social media, and
how it.
When you reach the time, let me just pause for a sec. If you really look at a brief inquiry into online relationships, it's very easy to think that it has to do a lot with people and their relationships with each other related to the internet. And there's plenty of that in the album, especially in the first half. But it's also a relationship with people to the internet and a one kind of person relationship. Yeah. And this is where that's really highlighted in a way where, this is where I will put one of my critiques of the album. This is where it started to feel ham-fisted with its message. And you look at it in its larger pace of, this is their Fitter Happier. It makes sense, it's passable. But that was one of the things that like kind of stuck out is, okay, I get what you're kind of being here. It's like cheeky to the point where you're like getting super close to the camera and going, see, this is what we mean. But I guess like albums have to do that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the song right after that is Inside Your Mind, which is about wanting to know what your partner thinks about you.
Right.
Which is a deep song. And then It's Not Even a Song With You, which is a song about Maddie's addiction to heroin and overcoming that. Surrounded by Heads and Bodies, literally sounds like a Radiohead song. Fucking fantastic. And the one song I don't like, Mine. Don't like it. I don't know. It's the only song that I felt was really weak. And that's the only song where I go, if they took this out, this album would literally be perfect, top to bottom. That's the only song that's kind of weighing it down. I don't know if it felt too slow. I didn't enjoy it as much. And then the last two songs are beautiful. Couldn't Be More In Love. This sweet freaking jazz. Felt like Sade in like 90s and it was awesome. And then I Always Want to Die Sometimes, in parentheses. Might be this and Love With You Made It are the two most important songs they've made in their career by far. So Love If You Made It, obviously a political statement, and all of the times of 2018 zeitgeist, yeah, I mean, I can talk hours about that song.
And we did in Song of the Summer.
We did, yeah. And I will later on in December.
Audio Face Awards.
That's where I'm like waiting for it. Then there's I Always Want to Die Sometimes. This song is about Maddie's having suicidal thoughts. And the lyrics of this and the production, everything, sounds like Britpop in the 90s, but in 2018, doesn't sound dated at all. Sounds a new modern twist on Britpop. And in a way that
like
is...
like Blur Oasis.
Blur Oasis, yeah, exactly. Like, that perfect stuff. And the lyrics of it are amazing because he's saying, your death isn't on you, it's on your friends and family.
Right.
That's fucking deep. And saying, if you feel like you can't go on, just try. Just try it.
Right.
Try to keep going, because that's been a big thing of mental health issues, especially in the age of the internet and social media, how that's been affecting young people a lot. And it even affected Maddie for a while. And that's what he was saying, Maddie being the front man. And that song is so important in this day and age of really saying, hey, a lot of people go through it. Almost everybody goes through it at some point in their lives. And it's okay. It's okay to talk about it, but you'll get through it. It's not the best option. It's not on you. It'll affect your friends and family more than you'll ever know. And keep trying. Keep doing as best as you can. And it's such a deep song, but they made it uplifting enough to not be super depressing.
And another way you can kind of read the song is, I always want to die sometimes, is that a lot of times suicidal ideation is just like a state
in which
you like have bits where you enjoy things and you're okay.
And then you'll go down, you'll hit your low.
You're just
low.
Down. And it's just kind of like a state of being, honestly, like as someone who, like, I'm speaking from a total personal experience here, like as someone who is
dealing with him and dealing with my other friends who have that, where they'll just hit lows. And then that's when they feel like they always want to die. And then they'll get out of it. They'll go ups. You know, they'll get out of it and then they'll go back down, especially if you've had traumatic pasts and everything in your life. But what Maddie's saying is, hey, you get through it. Keep trying. Keep doing your best to get out of it. And your friends and family are going to be there for you. And that's a powerful statement. That might be the most important song on the album. Because Love If You Made It obviously is great, but for the fan base of the 1975, I think it's more important for them. Because a lot of them are very young people who have gone through a lot. So,
right.
I mean, top to bottom, this album is, Jesus Christ, it's a masterpiece. I don't want to just whack off to them, but I'm extremely critical of bands I like. And I always say things I don't like Mine. I just don't like that song. I don't think I will. Maybe I'll open up to it. I mean, I did open up to the King of Limbs. So, but, wow, hats off, fucking Chapeau, boys. Good shit. Now I'm very excited because I want to hear you talk.
I hate to do this. This honestly isn't me being a content asshole. This is just because of how it went. We will have to continue this after the break.
Because of the camera.
Because of the camera thing. Yeah. But when we come back, we'll talk about how I feel about the 1975.
Yes.
What a tease. Too bad we don't have ads. And we're back. And on a brief inquiry to online relationships. So, you gave your take. Here's mine. As I was starting to listen to this album in the beginning, for the 1975, I'm fine with them. I'm a little annoyed that the 1975 is now three songs and it's going to be as many songs as however many albums I release, probably.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, the point is, if you have a version that's a favorite of this song that you like, it's going to be very annoying to find it on most music apps.
Oh, that's very true.
They should really consider, like, in parentheses, like, labeling them or something, but I don't know. Whatever. Anyways.
No, it's their fucking...
It's fine.
It's the hipster stuff.
It's how they intro this album, so sure. With Give Yourself a Try, that's, like, how you construct an album if you're doing a whole work. You kind of go with the kind of explosion, this is what you're getting into kind of song. And for that purpose, it goes kind of well. Two Time I actually really enjoyed. I wonder, what was the song in the that you wanted me to really listen to see if I would like?
There's two. There's Two Time and It's Not Living If It's Not With You.
Interesting.
It's Not Living If It's Not With You.
Yes, I know exactly the song. Yeah.
Those are the two I thought you would really enjoy. Two Time, I'm right.
Yeah.
Two Time's good.
Because it's just like poppy and almost like Damon Albarn-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of construction.
It's a fun song.
It's the kind of song I would think of as a good, like, apology for two-timing relationships. I'm the kind of person to apologize for that kind of thing. But as the album goes all the way through, like, to about Sincerity Is Scary.
Okay.
I was kind of just sitting in my car driving. I'm just gonna be like, I'm so upset. Because I'm going to have to go on the podcast this weekend and tell Sean that he was right. And he's going to have this, like, fucking...
smug as fuck!
He's going to have this smug face. And he's going to just be like this for weeks! It's going to be annoying! And I'm just like, God damn it, they've made a beautiful album. Now we'll all get to my criticisms.
That's fine. There's definitely
criticism. I think around the middle of the album, it started to get kind of ham-fisted with the point that it was trying to make with the overall thing. But I had to catch myself and go, this is a critique I have with a lot of great albums I've liked before, where it's trying to make a point, and sometimes that point is made like...
We both did that with A Moonshaped Pool.
Yeah, A Moonshaped Pool. I'm going to talk about this about other albums I'm going to talk about later on.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it does that in the middle of the album with I Like America and America Likes Me. It's cheeky. I appreciate it, especially just being the person who does this podcast. But yeah, exactly. It's definitely like...
I'm like 1975 listens to Audio Face.
1975 listens to Audio Face. We have some geographic metric data, so we know where you live.
Thanks, Maddie.
And we... No. So we know we have listeners in England.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to y'all, and apparently some of them are in 1975. We like you too. I actually think my favorite song on the album is Sincerity Is Scary. Because I get to be smug and say that funk is back.
Well, funk, that's why I knew you would like that song, because it is funky as fuck. When I listen to that single, I go, Danny, you need to listen to the single. You're like, no, I don't. And I go, you're going to love the single. No, I'm not. You're going to love the single.
I did it to uphold the integrity of the show to make sure that we weren't dick riding. And you would do the same for me if you knew it. But now that we've listened to the album, I can say that it's a very good song. And I'm going to have to deal with this for like 2 months. You don't understand how horrible this is.
It's going to be like a year. Then they have another album coming out next year too. And if it's another masterpiece, which I low-key hope it's not, because then they're on the Radiohead track. I'm like, I don't want another
They're on the Radiohead track right now.
I know. Because if they're on the Radiohead track, that means they're going to have fucking Kid A. And Kid A is...
Okay, so hold on.
I want to keep going.
So let me finish.
Modest podcast.
I do think this album is top heavy, and that's my other big complaint about it. I think all the great songs are, if I'm stop being nitpicky, Inside Your Mind. I honestly didn't like It's Not Living that much. It's kind of...
Inside Your Mind is a... Ooh.
It holds...
With the guitar?
Yeah. It's Not Living If It's Not With You holds the same place in my mind as To Binge does. Like, I appreciate it as a song, but in an album, I don't love where it fits in relation to the album. As far as, like, how To Binge was in Plastic Beach. I also agree with you that mine, and so that's why, like, that combination of more things I was able to complain about near the end of the album kind of, once I sullied the experience, but it was like, I definitely, like... I was very, very happy in the beginning of the album, and then very, very, in the middle of the album. But, to be clear, this is one of those hmms that is, like, miles and miles past pretty much anything that's been released this year.
Yeah.
So now it's just, like, we're nitpicking.
No, we're being super nitpicky, because we don't want to seem like we're dick riding.
And so...
Enemy can go fuck himself.
Because, and this is something that Sean told me about before, Enemy is doing, like, a lot of articles about the 1975, almost more than they were doing about the,
Fucking Gallagher twins. Twins, the cunts.
But you said that, the enemy was trashing the 1975 as recently as 2014.
It gave them the worst band ever award. And then 2 years later,
and now every
they
time
put their dick back in their pants and said, oh wait, I Like It When You Sleep is best album of the year.
And now anytime Maddie Healy sneezes, NME has 3 articles about it.
Seriously, so they can go fuck themselves.
Anyways.
But they did tell me that something popped up in their merch, I did buy it, so I give you, you're at like negative 1,000 woke, I give you a negative 999 woke now.
A brief inquiry into unrelated relationships. I'm actually going to break with Audio Face tradition and just use a different ranking system, because a perfect way to explain how I feel about this album.
Okay.
Brief inquiry into online relationships is 0.95 of a Demon Days.
0.95.
So like 95, like
95%.
Actually, I'd say 0.99% of a Demon Days.
That's fucking saying something.
Like,
Jesus.
All of the same complaints about being like ham-fisted with its like message and kind of going a little bit too into itself are kind of the complaints I have about Demon Days, but it's still a fantastic album, top to bottom. Being top-heavy is another thing I can say about Demon Days.
Demon Days is definitely top-heavy. It's this almost actually identical, because the last two songs of Demon Days are my some of my two favorites on it. And yeah, it gets you like that, it has strings at the end because of the song Demon Days.
And as time went on, I got a more of an appreciation for the latter songs on that.
I think,
and
I feel like a similar thing will
happen. Again, I don't think so with mine, honestly.
But no, mine, I think that's for both of us. I think that's just the only song I wish wasn't there.
Yeah. Even my comparison of It's Not Living to Binge, for me to compare anything to Gorillaz is a very like high
thing.
That's
like,
I think It's Not Living reminds me a lot of MGMT.
Yeah, like Congratulations era MGMT.
Yeah.
Like 2010, yeah.
Which is, again, interesting how they put all those songs in there. But to use the actual rating system, I would say, or the one we're using for this episode, this is at Trump shaking the Argentinian president's hand and just walking away.
That's good shit. I was gonna say, I'm gonna break from the G20 summit and say, fuck you. This is three countries. This is five countries. This is Canada, France, Britain, the USSR, and Germany dividing up Germany. Or sorry, and the US dividing up Germany after the end of World War II because they all love each other so much. Because this is a political statement, and that was a political statement. And that's how much they love each other. And this album is as close to In Rainbows as you can get. And In Rainbows isn't my favorite Radiohead album. I think it's the best, but it's not my favorite, as I stated before. But I think this is the closest album I've heard to an In Rainbows since In Rainbows came out.
Wow.
Which is saying something. Because I just listened to this album. I listened to it in my car with my friend, with Justin. The album came out 10 seconds after a hockey game. We're like, I'm taking a long way home. And we listened to it. And like, end of the album, I just sat in front of my door with Justin. I go, wow, they did it.
Like I said, I'm annoyed that I had to, like...
Yep, it's beautiful.
Tell Sean he was right, Alan, on video.
Video-proof, motherfucker.
It's, yeah.
Anyways, so we'll go real quick.
Now we're going to be talking about a surprise release that happened kind of over Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Salaam Remy and Black Thought released Streams of Thought Volume 2, 9 songs, 23 minutes long.
Just so it's like clean a drop. This is a drop. This is beautiful hip hop. I was happy as shit because I didn't know exactly what this was. Jump in, I'm like, ooh, it's got some old school hip hop going.
I'm super
down. Really happy. Honestly, again, like the past couple of weeks, the hip hop I've been listening to for the like podcast made me have some faith in humanity because of over the year and a half of trap that has just been in my brain and wanting to gouge my ears out.
The hip hop
and funk revivals.
2019 is going to... 2019
is going to be an interesting year.
No, we're going to review significantly less trap.
Oh, because, please, like, God, I need it for mental sanity at this point.
Because, like, we've said all we can say about it. I will continue listening to a couple of, like, tracks here and there.
Yes.
But until... I won't bring it onto the podcast unless there's something worth talking to about it. literally, I'm not touching Culture 5 or whatever one they're on.
No, fuck that. So...
Anyway, so this album is... Overall, like as much as I can say about it, it's, again, no song on it is going to be a banger, but as a whole piece, it's really good.
It's honestly a great, if you're driving someone that's going to take half an hour, put this thing from top to bottom.
Yeah.
It's a dope, like, just perfect for a car. Really good, like a PCH driver.
Perfect for a commute, just like,
yeah. Like a commute, like if you have a 25-minute commute, like I do, because I'm lucky, and just roll up, chill, listen to this album. That's a perfect commute drive album. Everything flows. You're not going to have like a single banger, but it's nice to go release your mind and just pay attention. And
but if there were a banger, I'd say it's Long Liveth. That song was really hard. Yeah.
I was going to say Streets. So they're going to say the song after Streets.
Yeah.
That song goes hard too.
It's really, it's kind of, honestly, I would compare the same ranking I gave Earl Sweatshirt.
They're very similar, but they're, I mean, in their
own ways.
Own ways. Not albums.
They totally share a lot of attributes in that they're both some rap songs. And
they're both some rap songs.
And they're both like around 20 minutes long.
And also this one has an album cover that's not gonna give me fucking nightmares.
Yeah. But yeah, overall it's really good. Now let's get into the raunchy part of the show.
Alright, so first we'll start with some fun.
We're going light. We like to quote unquote end audio face in a fun note, although we will be having No Chill Island will be audio only for us for those real ones. But
only the real ones deserve No Chill Island.
Yeah.
Premium content.
Yeah, yeah, premium content. So if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to subscribe to the podcast version of Audio Face so you can listen to the whole thing. and get the worst music podcast ever made. Anyways, let's start light in the main part of Audio Face and a fun note. Floyd Mayweather and DJ Khaled are supposed to pay SEC fines for being brand ambassadors for garbage ICOs. ICOs are initial coin offerings. So basically...
cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, a new cryptocurrency. So not even Bitcoin, not even like the ones you hear, but like weed coin or something. And then they'll get one of these artists, or like Floyd Mayweather or DJ Khaled, another one, to promote these brands on their social media, kind of like any other social media influencer, like a Kardashian would do. And they would get paid for it, the influencers would, but these things would ultimately be scams. So the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is like the IRS, if the IRS had a tank.
Pretty much. That's a great comparison. Like, SEC is the IRS with two tigers. Two tigers and a panther. Tiger tanks, panther tanks.
Yes.
Just bulldozing down fucking 88 millimeter cannon.
The IRS has a Glock. SEC has VADs.
IRS has a knife. SEC has a three horses and a Lancaster repeater gold.
Anyway. The IRS is a squirrel. The SEC is the Pinkertons.
The Pinkertons. And now Pinkertons.
Gosh darn Pinkertons.
Anyways, they're
going to have to pay fines to the SEC.
And I'm down for Mayweather
agreed to play $300,000.
That's it, dude. He wipes his ass with $300,000.
DJ Khaled's paying $150,000.
Good. Fuck him.
Yeah. All right. Fuck the rich. Anyways, we're going to take one more break, and then we'll go into the worst podcast ever, No Chill Island. Oh, Tekashi 6ix9ine. We're going to be reviewing Tekashi 6ix9ine. No, we're going to be reviewing Meek Mill's championships, and we're going to be talking about Wheeler Walker Jr. So that's all in the podcast. We'll be right back. Fans of Audio Face, real ones, welcome to No Chill Island.
This is going to be bad.
So, No Chill Island, for those who are new and for some reason are still listening to this part of the podcast, is a special game we play.
I didn't even see this.
It's a special game we play in which there's only one rule. In this world of political correctness and
PC culture,
social justice, you have to learn to get across your hot take in the hottest way possible without crossing the line. First one to get bleeped loses. But if you get bleeped, at least you get to say what you feel. And then you can start a group about it and hopefully not get investigated by the FBI. Sean, what are you going to say?
Usually what happens is we tell a line, one of us crosses, and then it's just a snowball effect, and then we quit, and then we just edit 5 minutes of the podcast out, and then one of us cuts in going, yeah, the podcast ended, sorry, and then off.
Yeah,
usually how it works. That's what happened last time. We talked about Triple X, Tentacion.
No Chill Island is the reason we can't talk about Ariana Grande anymore.
I forgot about that.
No Chill Island is the reason my career is in jeopardy.
Loki is.
So let's get this show on the road. First thing, just the tip of No Chill Island. Trent Reznor destroys Ted Cruz. Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails.
Zodiac killer right here.
Told Ted Cruz, literally the most punchable sack of human shit I've ever seen run for office in the great state of Texas, Two-Horn. With his fucking, like, 4 o'clock... No, he has, like, a 425 sexual predator shadow that he's been trying to get just because he sees that Beto O'Rourke actually can grow a beard and Ted Cruz's penis is shrunk. Anyways...
I mean, Beto O'Rourke is...
Ted Cruz, the most, like... He's Cheese Whiz incarnate, is basically Ted Cruz.
It's a good way to say it.
Trent Reznor was at a concert in Texas where he asked people who voted for Ted Cruz. A lot of people booed. And then he said, yeah, Ted Cruz might actually be out here in the audience. He tries to ask for VIP tickets to my show sometimes. One time he asked for a show and drank all the beer and was a pain in the ass.
And remember that one time where he said was talking about titties? Ted Cruz is talking about titties and like when he's like 18 or something in a video.
Oh no. I didn't know that.
That's the thing. I swear to God, Kyle might have. I'll probably start from Kyle, but I totally forgot about that until now. Well. I didn't realize that there was a Ted Cruz segment. I'm not going to say anything because I'm going to get bleeped immediately when I have to talk about Ted Cruz. That video.
Cruz squints his eyes. Well, my aspiration is to, don't know, be in a teen tit film and like that guy who played Horatio. You know, he was the Malibu Bikini Beach Shop.
Quite a words from a...
okay, so I think that it is disrespectful for someone like Ted Cruz to say something like anything Cenk Uygur would say. Anyways, right. Let's talk about Tekashi 6.
That's also... You probably should bleep that.
I'm not bleeping that. Okay. Tekashi 6.
It was your boss. You just... All right. Trying to help you here, cuz.
In the past. In 2000... To be fair, he doesn't say these things anymore. I just like to joke about the fact that he got railed by Gateway Pundit. Tekashi 6-9.
Dick 9.
Fuck, I said it. Tekashi Dick 9 one more time. Hopefully this is the last time we ever have to talk about Tekashi 6-9.
Because he's gonna either...
Before we review his album, let's talk about this whole week. Because
that's right, we haven't talked about that,
Let's go within chronological order, and then get to the album, and then we'll review it, and then we'll get to our phrasing. But earlier...
Super phrasing.
While we were on holiday, Tekashi 6ix9ine was arrested by federal agents on racketeering charges.
Oops.
It also includes two of his managers who he probably recently fired.
Oops.
Among the 17 counts, the group is charged with armed robbery, conspiracy to commit murder, distribution of heroin, fentanyl, MDMA, and marijuana.
MDMA, fuck.
All of which was carried out to maintain the gang's power, territory, and profits.
Oops.
So that's a pretty big thing. He gets arrested. And then, you know, once you get arrested, you know, you sit in the drunk tank for a little while. If you're rich, you just, like, pay your way out of it.
Yep, naturally.
So then, you get sentenced.
Oh my god, his mugshot is fucking gorgeous.
Tekashi 6ix9ine faces up to 32 years in prison. Charged with armed robbery, conspiracy to commit murder, and drug distribution.
I really hope that he doesn't have boxes of soap in the fucking prison.
So, hope and give him nothing but, Dove
for men.
Yeah. No. The slippery, like, Dove with lotion coated on the back.
He's gonna need some lotion.
No. So, to go more on the prison sentence, he's going to be resentenced over the child sex video where he had the 15-year-old.
Yep.
Or the 13-year-old.
Oh my god, you're a 13-year-old. You know what happens to fucking, not just pretty boys with rainbow hair in prison, but to pretty boys with rainbow hair who have sex with kids in prison?
They don't take kindly to that in prison.
There's going to be many statutory offenses in that prison. There's going to be a long 36 years for young rainbow face. He might come out... Nope. I was thinking of any way to phrase. Oh my god, I can't.
Let's just continue. Okay,
so let's keep going on. Let's keep
going. It's a bad week for Tekashi 6ix9ine
and his rap fans
and then Dummy Boy leaks.
Yep.
So this is the album he was going to release anyway. It leaked over the weekend. So Tekashi 6ix9ine behind bars was like, "Screw it, we'll release it." He struck a deal with somewhere called Create Music Group to distribute Dummy Boy. It was originally going to go to Capitol, but once it leaked, they had disagreements. Tekashi 6ix9ine lost so much money from this.
It should be good.
It's going to be amazing. But there's another one thing I want to point out here. A lawyer for Tekashi 6ix9ine is pulling what I call the Alex Jones defense, where Tekashi 6ix9ine says, "Oh, he's not a gangster. He just pretends to be one."
Pretty much, yeah. The actor defense.
He
plays a character role defense.
Yeah, he just plays a character 24/7 and therefore is not responsible for any of his actions. Of course. So we listen.
Of course.
We sort of listen to Dummy Boy, so you don't have to. And
it's a sack of shit. It made me smell shit again. For those of you who don't know, I haven't had a sense of smell since December 2010. Because of nose surgery, because I broke, long story. And this album is so stinky shit. It's so bad. It's dog shit wrapped in cat shit wrapped in dead, volcanoized rat fungus toenails of a fat fuck who lives in Inglewood and drives a 1992 Corolla. Stink that I can now smell it because of how bad it
works for Uber.
Work for Lyft, motherfucker. They ride
Uber's
lime. They ride lime scooters to their job and break them because they're that fat. They infect their fungus on lime scooters.
The entire album is just like, not even the features could save it. Like,
it's so bad.
It has no substance. It has no. I'm like, this is for trap. We've reviewed a lot of trap. This makes every other trap, this makes Migos sound really good. Honestly.
Like, this might be one of the worst albums. This is one of the worst albums of the year. I don't think it's gonna beat Fall Out Boy. I don't think anybody could beat Fall Out Boy. I still don't.
This is...
Mochi walking on my keyboard, walking on my piano, makes better music than Fall Out Boy.
This could
this is close to Fall Out Boy bad.
This could reasonably be, this could actually reasonably beat
Fall Out Boy?
Yeah.
No, because Fall Out Boy, I physically had to remove my headphones and just stop. This one, Fall Out Boy, I lasted 10 seconds. This one, I lasted a solid 28 seconds. Not much better, but 18 seconds is still 18 seconds.
Okay, well, it's this disgusting. It's
bad. Don't listen to it. I keep looking at the camera because of fucking...
All I'll say is that when Tekashi 69 is in prison, and there is a tall guy by the name of Tiny... who is ripping his meat wagon through and turning Tekashi 69's abdominal organs inside out, fucking pillaging that ass, having a supernatural experience at the end of ejaculating. It's probably gonna have one of these songs playing in the background, and it's gonna be disgusting.
I mean, he's gonna be pounding that ass like Netanyahu did in Gaza in 2014. Killing 93% of the civilians right there. Just boom, boom, boom.
He's gonna be pounding that ass like a Raytheon bomb on a 6-year-old school child in Yemen.
He's gonna be pounding that ass like, you know what? He's gonna be starving so much, he's gonna make the Yemen 84,000 kids that died look bad. You're gonna fine tooth comb. Fine tooth comb. We don't know who lost yet. Dan's close. Well, actually, we both got close right there.
Yeah, hang on. I need to actually note that.
Turn his organs inside out.
Has a divine experience ejaculating into Tekashi 69.
Supernatural experience. That's great. All right. I didn't even listen to Meek Mill because...
No.
Hold.
So, this will be the segue. Rick Ross uses... This is our segue.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Rick Ross used the faggot word to... I'm going to bleep that.
No. He said it. You know what? Fuck Kendrick. He said it. You're quoting him.
He said it. I'm quoting, and I technically fall within this community, so I'm going to say it for the purposes of the... No, we fucking...
Quote it.
Internet.
Quote it.
Anyways.
Oh, God, it's such a bad line. Look at
her bum. Meek in a lyric in Meek Mill's new album Championships, Jay-Z and Rick Ross are on a song where Rick Ross references Tekashi 6ix9ine saying, "Screaming gang gang, now you wanna rap, racketeering charges, caught him on a tap, looking for your bond lawyers, wanna tax, purple hair got the faggots on your back."
I mean, he's gonna have a lot of people on his back anyways in prison, so.
And we said as much just now.
He did.
Which
supernatural experience. The health inspector's gonna... Oh, man.
So Rick Mind Ross got into saying. A little bit of heat. Rick Ross got into a little bit of heat for that. But while we're on this little segue where we get to talk about Meek Mill's album Championship, it's just terrible. It's bad.
Like, I physically couldn't listen to it. I refused.
Like, it's basically just trying to be... I remember... when we all thought Meek Mill was pathetic, mm-hmm. and how, like, we looked at Meek Mill compared to Nicki Minaj, because Meek Mill is Nicki Minaj's ex.
Yeah.
And was just like, oh, Meek Mill, who the fuck are you? Who cares about you? Still, he's not, like, really good at rapping. He's, like, unbeefed with Drake, which is pretty sad.
That's sad.
Even 21 Savage couldn't save this album. Nothing on here was really particularly good. It's like, the album that someone makes as they're retiring, trying to prove to people that they're not retiring, when really they're just, like, this close to, like, this is the album Uncle Rappers listen to when they're chasing grandmas in senior homes.
Oh, Lord. This is, oh, God.
Call that 1-800-convalescent.
No, that's bad. Yeah, put that down. Yep, it's like back to the list. So, young Nicki Minaj flew 6,000 miles to Chicken California, Mexico.
God damn it!
I wanted to bring scale. Now we can't talk about China.
God damn it! Nicki Minaj went to China. Basically, the festival. Basically, she was planning to go to a festival that actually wasn't booked, and actually didn't exist. She got pissed and she canceled it. We can't talk about China anymore. Great job,
China. I ruined China.
And so now, I'd like to end this by talking about the fact that Wheeler Walker, Wheeler Walker Jr.'s third album, that was promoted on Pornhub, actually.
I don't doubt it.
This album has an official porn to go with it.
Oh, Lord.
But it has a lot of, you know, Wheeler Walker Jr. classic lyrics, such as the song Fuck You With The Lights On, which goes, I wanna fuck you with the lights on, I wanna do it all night long. When I see them old titties flapping, flip the switch, baby, make it happen. Come on, honey, do we have a deal? Split your legs in the electric milk. Girl, write you a love, love, love song if I can fuck you with the lights on.
I mean, I like young anal in the dishes, personally. My party life traded in for a kid and wife. No more being alone. I got some. Instead of sex with whore, I wake you up, girl, when you snore. Instead of being slept, I wipe the baby's butt. Oh, I guess I stopped there. Now we do anal in the dishes, Sunday shopping with the Walmart bitches. Dinner back at home. At night I stretch you out on your tight, tight bottle. I can't anal with this. Cocaine days are gone. Now I get high from mowing the lawn.
Now, darling, don't get me wrong. It'd be you if you had a dong. Please don't tell our son, because he won't understand. This cop goggling, coo swallowing, crazy old man. Please accept me for the guy that I am and not what I do in the back of the van. I sucked another dick last night, not saying that it's wrong or right. First time I blew, I blame it on the booze, but now it's just something that I do.
We need to end the podcast. I think that's it.
Wheeler Walker Jr. is redefining country music, and it's family charting really well on country music playlists.
Is it? I'm so sad.
And country music. No, this is great. This is the best country music that's been made all year.
I'm so sad. Jesus Christ. At least it's not like, I may hold her hand in skinny jeans, in like some blue jeans. Oh, is she on a tractor? Oh, my dick is hard, but I can't use it because Jesus. This one's like, I'm just going to anally fuck you over the counter while washing dishes and going to Walmart. How real country folk do it.
You know, outlaw country. This is the kind of music.
That's when you pull out your dick in your helmet and you have a little poo stain on your helmet and you need to wash that shit.
This is music for Red Dead Online, honestly.
Literally, yes. Can't talk about China anymore.
just blew through that.
I haven't broke the scales in a long time, and I wanted to. So, anyways, there's a lot of beeps. It's for our career purposes.
Yeah. Thank you for making it through that podcast where we didn't say anything offensive or career-ending. next week we'll be having the Audio Face Court Packing episode. It's going to be great because we're going to talk about all the albums we didn't really talk about in any episode of Audio Face previously this year. That we still maybe want to talk about doing the Audio Face Awards.
Or so for me, Bjorn's in the neighborhood, definitely.
And more.
More. Those are the ones that I can off the top of my head.
And ones that we're going to ask about on social media. So please give us those. Please rate the...
We'll do like a couple minutes an album. We don't want to go too well in.
Yeah, it's barely going to be news. Just going to be like quick...
Fuck news. It'll just be album.
Yeah.
We fucked up.
Okay, Sean can be found on Twitter and Instagram at SW Suarez. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web and Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And the entire podcast can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod.
Hey, you did the show. Good job.
Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Cheers.